Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. And now for something completely different. David Peck is the founder and president of Reelin' in the Years Productions, which is the premier source for footage of musical artists, entertainers, and history makers. David has built this business from scratch, and I love to highlight those who have found a unique niche for themselves. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks for having me.
Now, you've accumulated an archive, which we're told is the largest library in the world, housing over 20,000 hours of performances from all genres of music covering the last 90 years. So tell us how you started and how you developed this company.
Well, you know, someone ironically asked me that question last night, a friend, and, you know, sometimes in life you plan to get from point A to point B and you get there, and sometimes you don't.
Right.
In my case, I never planned to go from point A to point B, but I wound up there, and happily so. It really started out as a hobby. First of all, I'm a music nut, love music, particularly older music, 60s, 70s, and even before that. And it started out as a hobby when I was 18 back in 1984. And then as I just started just collecting footage, I didn't own the rights to anything. I just had it. It just went from there, and people started coming to me for, oh, do you know where this piece of footage, who owns this? And so I built up a business as being a consultant, and then I started to get the idea of representing archives. And I started traveling around the world to television stations, primarily in Europe. And basically, they had this material sitting on a shelf, weren't doing anything with it. And I said, well, let me, you know, generate income for all of us.
Sure.
And it just built from there. And I always have the half a side of me is a fan who loves watching it. And the other side is a businessman of, okay, how can I take this wonderful piece of footage of James Brown or this interview with Ronald Reagan or the stand-up routine of Richard Pryor and turn that into income. And keeping in mind all the time that while we have the rights to the footage, there's always underlying rights. We don't own the rights to Richard Pryor's likeness. So when we license a piece of footage of Richard Pryor on the Merv Griffin Show, well, his estate has to get paid. And so the end user needs to negotiate those rights with his estates because we don't grant them those rights.
Yeah.
Such as if we license footage of the Beatles. We own footage of the Beatles, but the image, music publishing, and so forth. So it's complicated when done right.
Yeah.
I should say that because there are people out there who don't do it right, and, you know, we make sure that it's all done correctly.
So you mentioned Merv Griffin. Now, a lot of my listeners are not going to have any idea who Merv Griffin was, but those of us who are aware of TV in the 70s and 60s and so on know his name. He was incredibly popular TV show host. I think he was kind of a comparable host as Oprah was. Now, he was also a very successful businessman. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the Merv Griffin tapes that you have.
Well, I will, but I'll take you back just to Merv speaking because it is a business show so that your listeners can appreciate why Merv was unique. I mean, Merv started out as a band leader in the 1940s, I believe, and he had a top 10 hit with I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
Oh, yeah.
And that got him into radio and so forth. And then he started working on game shows in the 1950s. And in 1962, he started subbing for Jack Parr on The Tonight Show. This is before Johnny took over. But NBC was kind of grooming Johnny. Well, ironically, Merv Griffin did his first talk show for NBC the exact same day that Johnny did The Tonight Show. They even did it in the same studio. Merv taped his talk show in the afternoon, and Johnny obviously had the 11:30 slot.
Yeah.
Well, because Merv was on in the afternoon, a lot of affiliates around the country wouldn't take it. And so, sadly, Merv went off the air in about 6 months. Well, obviously, Johnny flourished. So then Merv turned his attention to game shows. He created Jeopardy in 1964. And then in 1965, Westinghouse who really thought that Merv should go back on the air, approached Merv, and Merv was doubtful that he wanted to do this again, but they kind of gave him carte blanche and said, look, you run the show the way you want, and Merv did it, and Merv stayed on the air from 65 to 86.
Yeah.
And during that time, Merv created Wheel of Fortune. And then in, I believe, 84, Merv sold the properties to Sony, Wheel of Fortune. But smartly, he did keep some residuals.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the Jeopardy theme song, of which he gets residuals. And then he went and started buying hotels. So he was really a pioneer, and he owned his show, which was really unheard of in the industry.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, his son Tony likes to point out that Johnny Carson was very upset, not at Merv, but sort of jealous, I guess, that Merv owned his show. And Johnny did not own the show until 1980. Then retroactively, he negotiated the rights to own the previous shows.
That's interesting.
But Merv was very astute, very smart. And I think that's why, you know, when he passed, his estate was worth quite a bit of money. I don't know what it was and is, but he certainly didn't leave his family penniless. So let's just say that.
Well, I know Merv in his memoirs or in articles written about him, I remember, but I don't remember the source exactly, had talked about his negotiations with Donald Trump, and I only mentioned Trump because he's so much in the news right now. But I remember one comment was Merv was basically saying, you know, what am I doing negotiating real estate with Donald Trump? He felt like he was surrounded by sharks and really was out of his depth. But Merv also interviewed a lot of very, very well-known people. I mean, Frank Sinatra. Who are some of the guests that we would know that Merv Griffin interviewed? And I have another question for you I'd like you to follow up with. Now that, let's say, you may have footage of Hillary Clinton and others who are currently in the news, when those go to license, are they able to demand higher fees because these people are in so much demand right now?
Okay, well, I'll answer the first question and happily answer the second one. The thing about Merv Griffin and the thing that once we took over the library in 2012, we really wanted to brand, if you will, get across, is that I think people who do remember Merv think of him as light entertainment.
Yeah.
Think of, you know, the Zsa Zsa Gabors. Mm-hmm. And when we got the archive, I was stunned to see people like Dr. King and Robert Kennedy and Spiro Agnew and Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. Certainly not light entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Merv had everybody on his show. He had the Japanese commander who planned and led the attack on Pearl Harbor, Betsido Fuchida, who was on in 1965, which is just amazing that he was on his show. So Merv, you know, it wasn't that Merv was controversial, but Merv wanted a mixture. Merv wanted to follow a Zsa Zsa Gabor with a Robert Kennedy. He wanted to give you the full spectrum. And that was something that Johnny Carson didn't do, and I'm not certainly not knocking Johnny. Johnny wanted just entertainment, and that's great. Merv was much more than that. He was entertainment, but he was, you know, politics and science and so forth. And that's one of the great things about, you know, putting these shows back on the air with Get TV is that, and it started a week ago, and it's every Monday night, that you will have a show where last week's episode was Robert Kennedy, but Carl Reiner was on the same program.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, in a couple of weeks, you have Jane Mansfield bringing her kids on and the comedian Henny Youngman and so forth. And he's a very, very fascinating man. And I think what was great about Merv is that he wasn't a comedian by trade. So he wasn't looking to one-up his guests to make the next joke. It was he really wanted to hear what they had to say.
So are those tapes and parts of those archives now worth more money for those that are in the current spotlight?
Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton was on the show because Merv went off the air in 86.
I
think you're talking about, we also represent the David Frost archive.
Which, okay, sure, with Nixon, know, is, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so,
yeah. I mean, insane. We found all 30 hours of the Nixon interviews that he did in 77.
Yeah, wow.
Amazing.
That's great.
But to answer your question, is it more valuable? When we license a piece of footage, I try to be equal and not, well, Hillary Clinton's in the news, so I'm going to charge you three times what I would if she wasn't.
Right.
I mean, for example, we have an hour interview with Donald Trump in 1980 that never aired, that Rona Barrett did. And we're looking to license it, you know, where he actually is asked the question, would you ever run for president? He says, no.
Right.
And when she asked him why, he basically says that politics is mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let your listeners fill in their own thoughts to that.
That's an amazing statement.
I'm not going to go political here, but it's a very fascinating interview. And she interviewed him because she was doing a spotlight on very rich men in America at that time. But only about 30 seconds ever aired because it was a quick soundbite. But we found the raw hour interview, and it's very entertaining, to say the least.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want listeners to know that they can see these archives on Get TV Network. Now, that's a regular network that appears on cable, is that it?
Yes, it is. And there are cities that don't yet have it that will, but there are a lot. I mean, certainly check their website to find out if it is in your area. But I think that Get TV is a new station. But I love what they're doing, is that they're really putting on vintage programs that have never been seen before. This isn't just, oh, let's see MASH or I Dream a Genie for the 1,000th time.
Mm-hmm, right.
Merv hasn't been on the air since he went off. Judy Garland, other programs that they're airing. And so I think it gives you a good taste of variety and talk in the 1960s and 1970s. And we're very, very happy, you know, to be airing our programs with them.
Well, congratulations on what you've accomplished there. My guest is David Peck, founder and president of Reelin' in the Years Productions. Thanks, David.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Down at an English fair, one evening I was there, when I heard a showman shouting underneath the flare, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what the showman said.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY-01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.
Sing and roll a bowl, a ball, a penny, a pin.